And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 259. It is Thursday night, so it's a Fab preview kind of episode as we're heading into the All-Star break here. So a quick run through Fab. We're going to continue our first half positional previews with third base and the outfield and much, much more witty banter as usual on the show. Before we get to all that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Not too bad, man. Long time no see. Two nights in a row. We've got the Tooth Fairy making their first appearance at the house this evening, which is kind of cool. My oldest lost his first tooth earlier today, so he's all pumped up. Had no idea how much money to leave under the pillow. I hope I'm not spoiling anything for our listeners with that one, but wasn't sure how much cash to leave under.
Ryan, what are you doing, Ryan?
Leave some money out. Yeah, sorry to the 6-year-old listeners of the show that still believe in the Tooth Fairy, but
right up the gate.
Cool to see the little one lose his first tooth. Got all excited, and it'll be fun in the morning when he gets rich.
Yep, he gets rich and wants to buy something that's not even close to the amount of money that he has.
Like a video game or something for $5.
Dad, let's go. No, not even close, buddy. Hate to break it to you. Times are tough these days.
Yeah. You can get like 5 minutes on Pac-Man at the arcade for that.
But. Jesus Christ. Please pick a modern game. That's pretty cool stuff. My question I meant to ask you before the show, did it just naturally fall out? Did you do the string to the door? How did this happen?
This was natural. Yeah.
Okay.
We'd seen it coming. There's a tooth growing in behind it. So it just popped out. We did not do the string to door. Oh,
I had that so many times. It works. It's quick. It's painless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were raised. You were raised to be to be tough.
I was gonna say, I'm like, finish that sentence. I'm curious where you're going with that one.
String to door. This was all natural.
Good for him. Looking forward to hearing how the morning goes. That probably pretty exciting stuff there for the little fella. Other than that, it's only been a day, so not a whole lot to catch you all up on. Not a lot of news either, but we have one bit of news, Ryan. Bryce Matthews of the Houston Astros is getting the call. Their number one prospect is playing really well of late. Tons of speed. Going to get the call. Can play second base, shortstop. We'll see if he actually plays, unlike most of their prospects that get called up. But it's a very interesting piece of news coming in and could be a big fantasy Fab target this weekend.
Could be. But, yeah, Houston's track record with playing their top prospects, at least the last couple years, hasn't really been there. And then there's just a lot of moving pieces. Will it be shortstop and then Mauricio Dubon moves around? Will it be second base and they move Altuve back to the outfield? So, that's the biggest question, right, with really any call-up, especially someone with some versatility and also on the Astros, is what's the playing time look like? Tools look awesome. Power speed looks awesome on the minor league leaderboard. It's like a 12% barrel rate for Bryce Matthews, 10 homers, 25 steals, so you like that. Worried about the strikeout rate. Like, and I know I probably say that with too many prospects, but it was a 30% K rate at AAA for Bryce Matthews. If he can hold out 30... low 30s in the majors, like if the tools are as good as everyone says they are, that can work. But a 30% K rate in AAA, like that could also mean like 40% in the majors, and then that's a problem. So definitely those are my two biggest questions, but we'll see. We'll at least have a little bit of a preview Friday, Saturday, Sunday where Houston uses him, and we can at least go off of that for Fab.
Yeah, it'll be if he plays at least two out of the three games, hopefully all three, definitely gives us an idea of what's going on. We've talked about the middle infield situation. We reviewed the middle infield on the last show. Second base has been murky, so could open the doors for an option, especially with all that speed. We talk about it during draft season. One of the stats you can kind of pick up throughout the season is stolen bases. Here's a guy potentially, if he does get some serious run, like he's no Chandler Simpson, who's just been insane, but he could try to follow in that footstep, basically, and see where it goes. So definitely a nice target in Fab. And that leads us, Ryan, into the Fab preview for the week. It's going to be a quickie. Why don't you let the listeners know how we're going to approach this weekend? For those that might wonder why this decision was made, it's what we did last year.
Well, yeah, we referred to our committee on the Fab preview topic, and they recommended to us that we skip the schedules this week. Schedules are just, I mean, typically, right, with our Thursday night Fab previews, we go through every team, every schedule. Schedules are kind of thrown out the window. Fangraphs has projected probables for the three games after the All-Star break next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but those are just guesses. So we're not going to go through team by team this week. All we're going to do is kind of just run through some of the top free agent risers from this current week on Fantrax. We do that normally. And just kind of go through the top risers and give our thoughts on names there. And again, the impetus for this is there's a lot of daily leagues in Fantrax, and by being able to look at which players have risen the most within the week is at least valuable, I think, for weekly leagues. So that's what we're doing. We've got the weekly planner up on the screen for the YouTube crowd, and one of those tabs in the weekly planner is the top free agent risers with rest of season projections, year-to-date skills, updated every day for you on the good old Patreon if you want to support the show.
Most definitely. So we'll go through the most added right now and see where things go from there. I know Ryan and I will still have our Fab content put out this week, however we can pull that together with what's on the table. So there'll be other goodies out there, but this will get your mind thinking a bit. The top player on the board here is Romy Gonzalez. Now, we were talking before the show, Ryan, with Alex Bregman returning this weekend. Does Romy go back into a platoon with Abraham Toro? Because Romy was having a heck of a run right now, but it could be a platoon situation. If it's not, still a very, very good ad, but beware of that situation.
Beware of that situation first and foremost. Also, just beware, like, I don't want to bag the guy, but this is Romy Gonzalez. He's 28. I think we know who he is. I think you're buying somebody who's been hot lately. 362 batting average, 4 home runs, even a steal over the last month from Romy Gonzalez, but like fairly confident that's buying him off of his hottest stretch, which you don't normally like to do. So a useful piece for second shortstop eligible, depending on your league format and whatnot. Just don't go overboard here for both the playing time risk once Bregman comes back, but then also like we have 600 plate appearances so far of Romy Gonzalez. It's been okay, but I don't think this is like a, you know, priority ad or anything.
For sure. Joey Loperfido is back up with the Jays. I'm not too excited about that, but in deeper leagues, keep an eye there. Keith is one. We talked about Colt on one of the updates yesterday on Wednesday's show. Dude's raking it, and he's actually putting some skills behind it, which is great to see. So it's kind of one of those maybe ride the hot bat, but maybe it's also producing into something more consistent as well.
Yeah, and that's really your shallower league play. I mean, in Fantrax, it's 73% owned for Colt Keith. But yeah, certainly a nice turnaround for Colt Keith lately. Country music star Colt Keith. Should give him his proper title before we dive in. But yeah, hitting .342, 4 homers over the last month and playing every day. Like, that's good. Playing against lefties? No, still kind of a platoon guy. But leading off against righties, so that's, you know, the playing time's there. And still young. Like, with prospect pedigree, this isn't like a Romy Gonzalez, who's more of a middling type of pedigree and older guy. So certainly like Colt Keith, I'd actually bid more on, I'd bid more on Colt Keith than Romy Gonzalez. I guess that's certainly not a hot take, but.
With you there. Masataka Yoshida was activated off the IL earlier this week. He's got a little bit of pop, good batting average, not a whole lot else. So just know it's a pretty empty stat line outside of batting average and maybe some home runs. So do with that what you wish.
Yeah, and what's that play? Is he going to just be the DH?
I think so, especially with like B-Shot making a David Hamilton joke. He was sent down to AAA. There's a lot of moving parts right now. Like Romy Gonzalez could actually move around the infield as well. But Yoshida's supposed to be playing DH. They talked about Roman Anthony's going to play left field. There seems to be a trade in the works in Boston.
Yeah, and they're 5 games above .500. A lot of folks talking about Red Sox being sellers and selling Chapman. They're not done yet, especially if Roman Anthony can get going. But yeah, I don't know. Until Yoshida, there are so many moving parts in Boston, like you said. This is someone who needs to compile in order to be productive, just because it is an empty batting average. It's a nice batting average, BatX projecting .272 the rest of the way for Yoshida. But if he's not playing every day, there's no category juice there. Like, it's just a tough. And I'm assuming he's UT only in your league. So yes. Half your teams can't get him anyway. So,
yeah, big problem there. Victor Caratini is a catcher we've talked about for a while, playing first place DH catcher. So if you need a catcher too, he's very, very serviceable.
Yep.
Andrew Vaughn, we hit on him last night, Ryan. He did sit on Wednesday. So he played 2 out of 3 games. Looked good in that aspect of it, but it's still just a deep, deep play for me.
Agreed. We talked about him, I think, last night a little bit, or I'm just imagining that. But, yeah, I think more of like a corner infielder and 15-teamers and not much of a ceiling. I don't think this is any kind of grand rebirth for Andrew Vaughn. Leaving the White Sox organization can always help, but I don't know. I think we've seen enough to know who Andrew Vaughn is, which is, you know, he's okay.
Yeah. Your boy Tyler Freeman checks the boxes here. Look at that rest of season projection, 295, 5-10.
Yeah.
That plays in a deeper league.
And he's still 44% owned only in Fantrax. So I wonder what that is. He's got to be widely in NFBC.
I will let you know.
12 teamers, Freeman. But yeah, projected 295. I mean, 295 batting average from the Bat X the rest of the way. 5 homers, 10 steals. That's awesome. I mean, it's been an 8% K rate. I mean, you can see the skills right on the weekly planner here. 8% K rate, 26% stolen base attempt rate. That means basically every 4 times that Tyler Freeman's on first, he's running. So continue to ride this guy while he is hot, especially at home and leading off, and that you get all that goodness too.
80% in 12s in the OC right now. So
okay.
Still 20% of leagues have him floating around.
Yeah.
Harrison Bader is having a good week at a combo meal, I believe, on Tuesday. So he's swinging it pretty well. Still just like a streamable, deeper league play. I'm not in love with Harrison Bader. Jesse Winker's probably going back to the IL. So don't be too excited.
He lasted
there.
Like 1 game. They said his back gave out or locked up, I think was the word. So yeah, he's back to the IL. Not great.
Yeah.
But and who on the Mets? Because there's Starling Marte on
he'll
the
be back
IL.
After the all, he'll be back after the All-Star break. It'll be limited.
That's a good point. That's the All-Star break is, that'll do it.
Yeah. So gonna be limited. It might not be next week, but the following month, he's not gonna be out a ton of games, is what I'm trying to get at there. Not a lot else here though. Max Muncy, we've talked about a million times. Full week in Sacramento was nice. Miguel Andujar was activated from the IL, still trying to see how that plays out in that situation. Barger's a beast, he's rostered everywhere. And then Luke's, and then all-star Zach McKinstry.
Yes, all-star Zach McKinstry. Good for Zach McKinstry. If you're prioritizing these guys, and we may have left some off, but these are the top rises. Might be just be a slow week, especially with Fab coming up. But would you say Bryce Matthews plays twice this weekend? Would you prioritize him over anyone we've talked about outside of like Colt Keith?
Yeah, I'd probably have Colt Keith ahead of him, but I'd be pretty high on Bryce Matthews if I need a middle infielder and I need stolen bases. I'd be very, very high on that because, as a whole, the Astros' offense is improving too. Like, they're starting to get going. So if you can get them going around him, that could return great value. Looking at NFBC right now, Colt Keith is 53% in 12, so he's widely available.
Okay.
Just a few names that are under 60%. Nolan Gorman is still out there in 12s. Below 60%. I'm just doing hitters, by the way. Your boy Winsell Perez has kind of slowed down, but he's still there. Jorge Polanco hit another home run, so he's on the table at 52%. So those are kind of some of the names that stand out towards the top. Oh, Ha-Sung Kim of Tampa Bay. He's got a double and a homer in his first 2 games. He's at 45%, so he should be a very popular target this week. Dave Roberts came out and said it again that Ha-Sung Kim is supposed to get more playing time. Do with that what you wish.
Was that just an old tweet that, you know, the 4U tab can be, you know, can bring back old stuff?
I triple checked. It was 30 minutes ago when I looked at it earlier today. So, yeah, I was like, oh, God, here we go again on that one. So I threw him out. So I won't go down the whole list, but these are some of the names you'll see in my Saturday Fab column.
Very good. Everyone check that out if you are part of the Patreon.
All right, let's go to the pitching side of things. Schlitt happens should be the most popular guy this week.
Yeah, we're drinking some Schlitts on Sunday night, I think. I don't even know if I can get it, nor I haven't seen Schlitts in a while. I think I mostly like drank it in
Midwest, East Coast thing.
Yeah, they had it in Arizona. I mostly drank it in Arizona, like in grad school.
That sounds about right. Arizona, you can pretty much find whatever you need there. Let's just be real.
Yeah, it's true.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
More ways than one.
I think
Schlitz is Cam Schlittler. We should probably just say his full name since this is a new one. It's just tough to know, or anyone who still believes in the tooth fairy. We want to keep it PG. It's hard to know like how the Yankees are going to do their rotation next week. That's the biggest thing with Fab in general for this coming week is like basically every team gets three games. So if you have pitchers who are at the bottom of their team's rotation, you're probably either taking a zero or maybe speculating on a closer to fill that spot. And so like Schlitz is one where I'm not sure if he even pitches next week.
Maybe not next week per se, but Aaron Boone said he will get at least one more start after the break. We know Casey Schmidt having Tommy John surgeries. That's official. Luis Eel, the earliest he's back late January, most likely in August, barring a setback. I feel like Schlitz happens, gets 2 to 3 more starts, but I could be wrong.
And I don't know. I was watching the Mariners-Yankees game tonight, which was just a disaster for the Mariners. But Stroman was pitching, and there was a ball had to run over to first to cover first. And I don't think Marcus Stroman's fully healthy. I think his knee's still. The trainer came out, and he stayed in the game, but like he basically couldn't run to first. So there's always that possibility that Marcus Stroman goes back on the IL too.
Yeah, so you should get a few starts, barring something crazy, but that's a lot of questions to be made if you're going to spend some serious cash is the catch there.
But if you're in like a 12, well, say you're in a 15 team, like in our listener leagues, you've got $200-$300 left. If you go like 10% on Schlitz, it'd be like $20, something like that. I'd probably go less.
If you really need them, you're probably going like 75 to 80. But
definitely not doing that then.
No, I won't be doing that either. Like I want them on my team. I'm just not going to go crazy. I just can't get that wild with it.
Yeah. All right. Other risers here and the pitchers with the Fantrax risers are a little, people pick them up for daily streams and that sort of thing. But Kevin Ginkle is the top Fantrax riser due to him, I guess, having the job in Arizona.
On Monday.
I got the save. It was a shaky save, but whatever. Like you look at the skills, it's a 380 Sierra, which means he can be passable in the role. If you need saves are saves. So Ginkle's probably pretty widely available. I wouldn't go nuts here, but I also like, I don't know who else.
He is
would
0% rostered in 12s. 0%.
So yeah, you're bidding on Ginkle if you need saves, in my opinion.
Yeah, Grant Taylor's 85% rostered. Get Grant Taylor if he's available in your league before you go get Kevin Ginkle. Because for the Patreon folks in the Discord, I like to the terminology I like to use when he's on the mound is he's ginkling down his leg.
Yes. Yes.
So that's how I feel about him. Logan Allen was a popular pickup this week with a very nice matchup versus the Chicago White Sox. They got postponed till Friday's doubleheader now, but he's been very effective, I guess, most of the time. And more importantly, the White Sox are really bad versus lefties.
That's the thing with Logan Allen. It's for me, it's still matchups. Like the skills are still pretty bad. It's an 8% K to walk. Sierra's near 5. You're basically streaming him for teams that don't hit lefties. And there are, we've talked about this a few times on the pod before, there are a good number of teams that cannot hit lefties. So it works. Your San Francisco Giants included.
Dude, 32% K rate over the last month.
Insane. Against lefties?
Yep.
Yeah. So that to me, that's what Logan Allen is. He's rising just because of the matchup.
100%. What if I told you that Joe Boyle was 98% rostered in 12s already?
Wouldn't be like too wild. Is he piggybacking Rasmussen? Is that the?
That's what's supposed to be the plan. We'll find out on Friday. It's supposed to be that way for a little while, but time will tell. The Rays are always known to do things that you don't expect.
Right. Don't know. But I mean, they did say that. So, I mean, the big thing is the order. You want to be on the. Hey,
go ahead. I don't know if you've heard from the big guys out there. Players, managers, teams, they lie, Ryan.
Yeah, I know. But usually around injury. Like, they came out. Like, why wouldn't they say, I don't know. Like, it makes sense to do it. But
yes. I'm hoping they do, because that makes Joe Boyle an absolute fantasy beast.
If he's the follower, you want to be on the back half of the piggyback.
You want to be on the back. I'm going to stop right there.
I came out wrong, but yeah, you want to be the follower, not the opener, is probably the better way to word that one. And if Joe Boyle is that follower, then I think you're good. I think you're really good. I still worry about the walks, but that's something we've disagreed on for a while. I mean, you say the stuff is so good that the walks kind of don't matter. Is that right?
The walks have increased tremendously at AAA this year compared to previous seasons. So, yeah, he's a much better pitcher right now. He's throwing absolute cheddar with nasty movement on his off-speed pitches. And if he is the follower in this one, he's in a great fantasy spot.
11% walk rate for Joe Boyle in AAA this year. That is actually an improvement. That's very much improved. I think it was 18 last year off the top of my head.
It was bad. And I was still Team Joe Boyle then, but the Rays figured a few things out. Shocker, they know what to do with pitchers. So, yeah. Before we go down the list, Michael Cicchini's got a good one here. Fraisel Iglesias is out there. He's worked a few nights and been solid lately. Lee Blue the eighth, but Iglesias likely would have closed tonight. I agree. Yep. Iglesias is doing very, very well. That's why every week I have him on my bench. I have not dropped him yet. I've been close. And I keep looking at how he's producing, and it's like, okay, it's like the Devin Williams situation. It's close. Devin's back. He's doing his thing. Iglesias will be back in there soon enough, I think.
Yep.
All right. Who you got next on this one? Because people in the Discord are mad. He only pitched like four innings on Tuesday.
Lauer?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not even that big on Lauer anyway. Like the numbers look pretty good at 26% strikeout rate. Yeah, like the skills look pretty good, but he's a fly ball pitcher. It's at like 30% ground ball rate, which whatever. But he also doesn't miss bats. Like, I don't think the 26% strikeout rate is going to hold. Basically, all the projections are below average, like 21%. So, robbery of Fernando Tatis in center field. McCarthy.
Good.
Jake McCarthy. Wow. So I almost, like, I like Eric Lauer more than Logan Allen. That's nothing groundbreaking either. But I can see the strikeout rate falling back a bit. And then once you're not striking out as much with those fly balls, it can be a little dicey. But again, same thing with Allen. There's a lot of bad teams against lefties, so it can work in a good matchup.
Yep, I like what we're seeing from Lauer. Like you mentioned, the skills he's showing, but I agree, he's probably more matchup dependent than anything. Had a good matchup this week. That's why he was playing the White Sox. That's why it was a very surprising early hook in that game to kind of take the wind out of that stream, one might say. All right, a few more. Like we talked about Souza last week when I said, yeah, he got this random save. Don't worry about him. Ronnie Enriquez pitched in the sixth inning down 6-0 on Thursday. Not ideal, my friend, but I was kind of like trying to find the glass half full in this one, and to me it's a combination of Ronnie Enriquez hasn't pitched since Saturday.
That's
where I'm at on that one. They need to get him some work,
and it wasn't like the Marlins were winning. And trust me, I'm not like defending Enriquez. I don't have him anywhere. Actually, I'd love our good doctor to reclaim the ninth, and he still might at some point, but I think it was just get work in against the starters while they're still in a blowout while you're losing. I don't think it's any more than that.
Yep, completely agree. So I'd still be adding him. His skills are really good. 33% strikeout rate, 2.63 Sierra, but even in the rest of the season, projections are very serviceable.
Oh yeah,
all things considered. So I like him. I talked about him a lot on the Fab Show. Like, I know, don't play with the Marlins closers, but at this time of the year and the options are out there. Like, I should have went Grant Taylor over him probably, but I still like what Enriquez is bringing. And I also think the Marlins can win more games than the White Sox. So,
no, you're a Grant Taylor guy all of a sudden. Didn't we watch him live? This meltdown last week?
Ben and I talked about it for a while. We started comparing skills, I guess, if that makes sense. And at worst, I think Enriquez might be more skilled, but who's taking Grant Taylor's job where Enriquez could have four different guys take it out of nowhere?
Agreed.
That's kind of the difference. Job security, I think, is where that one kind of went to. So we'll see. Adrian Morihone is more of a spec if Robert Suarez disappears. Morihone's been outstanding. Adrian Hauser is a stream. Don't get excited there. Most of these are strings. Taiwan Walker got to start. Pretend that never happened. Jansen Junk. Joey Cantillo I like a lot, though. That's a guy, ton of DC shares. I thought he'd be up a lot earlier this season. Pitched really well against the Astros. Gets another decent matchup to finish a two-step this week. Everybody wanted him for the second start in that two-step. They were worried about the Astros start, so now it's giddy-up time this weekend for Cleveland and Joey Cantillo. Skills are really good. I know that what you see on the board, the 30% walk, that's a small sample, but what we saw last year with him, it's a very, very serviceable arm, and especially in a world, Ryan, I don't know how many times we've said it, this league cannot hit left-handed pitching. So Cantillo can be very effective for that.
And who knows how it lines up, but a lot of these fourth, fifth starters could be lined up for two steps in the following week after the All-Star break. So that's kind of the bonus if you take some of these guys. So not to put you on the spot, but any like close, because I think a lot of people want to do is spec on a reliever or two, right? While we have the open week, maybe do like a closer target or closer spec, which makes sense. And then you could throw them in for the 3-day week from Friday, Saturday, Sunday when they get back from the break. Is there anyone that you would recommend there in terms of closer darts?
I like the Morihone play. I love Randy Rodriguez at the Giants, obviously, because that closing situation is getting sketchier by the day. So that is one I would target. I'm still in a rebate guy thinking Trevor McGill maybe gets traded. That would be in play, I guess, if you want to go with any of the Miami guys. But Bender actually got a shot recently. If you want to go there, I still think it's Enriquez's gig. But Bender could be worth a dart. And then Sean Armstrong of the Texas Rangers.
You wrote about him for HQ.
Very, like, out of all the options that are in that bullpen, not AAA arms, because I don't know, they're all struggling down there, but out of the guys in the current bullpen, so thus people you could use next weekend, Armstrong actually has some good stuff. Like, the swinging strike's very, very good. He actually strikes guys out. Like, Chris Martin doesn't even have those kind of skills right now. He's just getting old. Sean Armstrong could be a dude if Robert Garcia continues to struggle. That could sneak in. He picked up a save, I think, last week. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see him get some more late inning leverage arm opportunities.
Dude, Chris Martin, I don't know if you've seen him recently. He looks like he's 90 years old pitching.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
And again, I kept telling myself, my God, no, he's just, you know, getting older, no big deal. And he looked like his skill sets, it's just falling off a map. Like he's getting through it, but it's not the dude we once knew. Let's put it that way.
Last thing I'll add is I kind of wrote some of this up at HQ this past week, but trade deadline is 3 weeks away. So you can start looking at, and this is probably a good time to do that over the break or even heading into the break with this kind of half empty week. Look at teams who might trade at the deadline. Is this the year David Bednar finally gets traded out of Pittsburgh? Man. Is this the year Finnegan finally gets traded out of Washington? I don't know, but you can start to look at that stuff because we are only 3 weeks away from the deadline.
Well, like another one to go look at is Emmanuel Clase is getting rumored everywhere right now. Paul Sewald got a save,
which this season makes sense because Cleveland is actually
Paul Sewald got a save on Wednesday. You still have Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis who have been very serviceable.
Yeah.
So those are some spec guys. Like that's a legit arm we've heard being shopped around is why I mentioned that, and Johan Duran as well. So maybe we get back to our Griffin Jacks life. Is another guy to keep in mind. So, yeah, to your point, definitely go there. And honestly, we mentioned just spec save guys. I just take good relievers. Like, I know – I don't even think we can laugh about it anymore because it's actually legit. Reed Detmers is good, like really good. And he might get 2 innings out of 3 days and get you like 4 Ks. Like, that plays.
Mm-hmm.
So – it doesn't have to be just specs for closers. Look at those really good seventh and eighth inning guys that can go out there and get a couple opportunities to throw.
Yeah, just spend a buck or two on them and throw them back in if, you know, thank them for their service, as we like to say.
Yep, I think there's definitely there. To Michael C's point here, Morihone, the lefty over Estrada. Estrada was really good to start the year. It's been more of a roller coaster of late. Morihone's just been really good. So it could be a platoon situation, but they've used Morihone to close when Robert Suarez was on his suspension. So I kind of look at Morihone as the guy. But again, Estrada is a good point, is around, and that could struggle. To Uncle Ted's point, Brian Baker went to the Rays and gave up the win on Thursday night. So do with
tough
that
start. Tough start. And it's funny, before the season, it was like, oh, Pete Fairbanks, can he stay healthy? If he does, the Rays are going to get traded, or the Rays are going to trade him. I know I was saying that. That's the opposite has actually happened, where they're actually adding pieces. Yeah.
All right, so there's the Fab preview again. We'll have more for you on the Patreon and other outlets throughout the weekend, and see where the schedules break out and how the cookie crumbles. But let's get back to our first half positional previews. We're going to wrap up the hitting side of things with third base and the outfield tonight. We'll do pitching next week. So, Ryan, what are we looking at here at the third base position?
All right, so same. Maybe folks have not listened to the podcast show we did last night, because it's been one day, but same concept as our previous episode, where we're just going to look at the top 30 by preseason ADP, by where these guys were drafted, and compare that to where they rank on the FanGraphs player rater for 5x5 leagues. Not going to go super in depth on, you know, all these names or whatever, but just kind of looking at general trends and what we find is interesting. To me, third base, a lot of green at the top. If you went early at third base, you are, very top heavy for sure. You are sitting pretty with Jose Ramirez, Jazz Chisholm, probably the worst one of that lot, Austin Riley, Manny Machado, Rafi Devers, Junior Caminero were the top six third basemen, and they are all in the top 10 at the position right now, and four of the six are in the top five. So Riley's seventh and Jazz is ninth. So if you went early at third base, you have been rewarded. And it's for me, I'll turn it over to you in just a sec. Like, I can't believe Rafael Devers is a top five third base. He's one of my biggest fades entering the season. And we were both out on, you were like the Junior Caminero guy until you weren't, because the price just shot up to what we're looking at here, which is main event ADP by late March. Junior Caminero was number 75 ADP. Even if you took Junior Caminero at that inflated price, you have been handsomely rewarded. He's the number 51 overall player. So kudos to anyone who just said, screw it, I'm taking Caminero no matter the price.
Yeah, when I was getting like past pick 100 Caminero early on, that was very, very nice. Like, he's on my Beat Bubba OC, which was like the first one done for the NFBC this year. And he's on that team, and that feels really good. Let's put it that way. But I wish I had more shares. Wish I would have stuck to my. There's a couple of players we've already talked about that if I would have stuck to my guns would have been nice. But then again, I also didn't stick to my guns with Mason Wynn, and that's working out for me now. So pick your battles on those. But yes, very top heavy, and it feels weird because it doesn't feel like Austin Riley's having a great season. But it's good enough, I guess. Like, yeah, he's the 101 overall ADP 32. You'd want better, but it's still not crushing.
Hasn't killed you.
Yeah, so like that works. We liked Machado. I liked Caminero. It just gets weird because you still have some hits throughout this, but it becomes more of a pick your poison. Like, Bregman's been good, was much better before he got hurt, so that was good. The Chapman situation with Eugenio Suarez, we compare him all the time, but then we're like, wait, they're like 60 picks apart now. It's a little different this year. Chapman has struggled, injuries, and just struggled in general. Suarez is the second at the position, 23rd overall, with an ADP of 181, Ryan. Like, talk about backing up a monster second half last season.
That's the breakout that sticks out. And like, yeah, I don't have any Suarez, so I'm missing out big time. But yeah, interesting you did call that out, because Chapman, Suarez are always kind of bound together with similar type profile, and Suarez has taken off this year. So that's been a huge hit. If you took Eugenio Suarez at 181, right after Eugenio Suarez is Isak Paredes, who just continues to post numbers. Number eight at the position, 106 overall. Especially if you took Isak Paredes before, or Suarez before Luis Rengifo, our good mascot, was going right after those two guys. Utter disaster. So nice little pocket there. Even I'll throw Alec Bohm in there, 166 ADP. He's finished so far. He's 13th at the position, 178 overall. So he's been serviceable. But then Suarez and Paredes, but if you're taking a third baseman around pick 180, it's been pretty good for you.
Yeah, I picked up Bohm off the waiver wire early in the year in a 12, which has been
so did I nice. Actually. Yeah,
yeah, pretty nice.
He was bad. He was really bad.
So he's turned things around, which it goes back to what we said yesterday. Like these numbers could look way different by the end of the season with this list. Flip it over to the right side of your board there if you're looking at the screen. Matt Shaw was the popular name on the rise, and my goodness, has that stung many. Bright side is you probably dropped them a while ago, so you haven't suffered through all of it. Yeah. But that's been a bust, especially with Mikel Garcia sixth at the position right behind him.
Yep, the Matt Shaw thing hurts, though. It hurts a little less. It's a 209 ADP. Like you want production at as many picks as you can have in your draft, but if a 209 doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. But yeah, still pretty brutal. Interesting, we talked about, speaking of brutal, second base on last night's show. It's just interesting that Mikel Garcia, this is another kind of point to drive that home. Mikel Garcia was the number two second baseman.
God.
And that same Mikel Garcia is number six at third base. So further goes to show how bad second base is compared to the rest of these infield spots.
All right. Yeah, no, that's pretty good there. You got Willie, you got Arenado, but Max Muncy up to 11th at the position with an ADP of 267. Yeah. Got a pair of bifocals and learned how to hit the baseball again. That was great until it wasn't because his knee is gone and we might not see him again until the end of August, but a hell of a run right there.
Hell of a run right there. Jose Caballero, 16th. That's all stolen base driven, so that all just kind of depends how the Fangraphs player rater is valuing stolen bases. And I'll throw Miguel Vargas out there. Miguel Vargas was number 30 on this list. He's the last one in this little board here. Finished. I keep saying finished. Season's not over. He's currently 23rd at third base, but that's also a number that's a bit skewed after a terrible start. Like you probably grab Miguel Vargas off of waivers in a bunch of leagues, and he's picked up quite a bit lately and is looking good, so, and eligible at multiple positions, so that has also helped. Miguel Vargas has kind of quietly been a pretty good player,
a very good player. So yeah, it's an interesting position where it's super top heavy. You can still find some nuggets throughout here, but it just goes to show you, like, the waiver wire has been bleak after those early, like, Bohm pickups, I guess.
Yeah.
If people gave up on Paredes, like, there were some people really frustrated early on, was there. But, like, Christopher Morel, Ryan McMahon, garbage. Connor Norby's been hurt so much, trying to come back. But every time, like, I get excited about him because he's available in a lot of leagues, I keep looking at his profile. I'm like, he's really not that – he's a real-life player. He's not a fantasy player. The third base position – it feels like if you didn't nail it in the draft, it's been very tough to piece together throughout the season.
Right, because there have been a ton of duds. I mean, we haven't talked about Mark Vientos, Jake Berger. Like that those have been bad. You have cut Berger probably since he got sent to the minors.
He's back. I picked him up everywhere this past week.
Hell yeah. Yeah. But like in terms of like where you took him, that's been brutal. Do I even need to say Royce Lewis? Like yeah. So, and the other thing with third base is there hasn't really been those breakouts. Like looking at guys who weren't taken in the top 30, you've got Zach McKinstry. You may not even be playing at third base. You're probably playing him again, at second base.
Once again,
second. He's a mascot. Yeah. He's second, third short outfield. So we'll probably talk about him in about 10 more minutes when we get to outfield, but like Zach McKinstry is number 10 at the position. Don't want to call that a breakout. Josh Smith has been pretty good. Yeah, he's 12.
One big one.
And then Javi Baez, Addison Barger.
Barger's the big one. Yeah, Barger's been pretty dang awesome over like the last month or so. Once people jumped on that train,
yeah.
He's been one of the bigger third base pickups this year because, again, to your point, not a whole lot of them.
Yep. So, yeah, if you did not go early at third base, you're probably struggling unless you took Suarez or Isak because you probably cut Alec Bohm too if you're not in 15-teamers. Yeah. So
probably did. That is for sure. Who do you got rising on this board in the second half?
I will say, God, I'll say Jake Berger. I'm glad you asked me first. So I'll take Bubba Berger from you.
Yeah, Bubba Berger, who we also picked at first base as well. So we stayed consistent on that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I can't even remember last night. Like what the unreal.
Yep. For me, since Bubba Berger was crucially taken on that, I want, like we talked about this yesterday, I want to take Westbrook so bad, but I think he's seriously hurt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Alex Bregman. I think he can picks up where he left off. Like, he was crushing it. I think that's a guy that takes another big step. I think he might be closer to the top 10 by season's end at the position.
I'll throw Connor Norby as an honorable mention. I know it's been frustrating, but I still think the pieces are there for a decent second half from Norby.
Who do you have falling on this board?
Oh, I will go with – I'm just so damn stubborn. I'll go with Devers. Given how he finished last year and just can everything hold up over the full haul. Go with Devers.
I will go with Josh Jung. No, he's in AAA. That's
Max Muncy.
No. This is trickier for me because, like, I believe in Royce Lewis while healthy. So, and he's at 73rd, so he can't get a whole lot worse in that situation. Christopher Morel's probably going to be DFA'd soon. We talked about that. Ryan McMahon should be DFA'd. Man, Faller, the lazy answer is Eugenio Suarez. I'll go with Mark Vientos. I think it's even worse.
Fall in. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's right, too
so you
easy.
You don't think he turns around. You're not buying low, basically, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not buying low on Mark Vientos. Yeah. I feel like he's going to have a long stretch at AAA before we get anything good out of him at the big league level again.
That's fair.
We shall see. But as you transfer to the outfield boards, there was a question that you hear from Concase O. Dynasty drop Shane Smith for Joey Cantillo. I would rather have Joey Cantillo personally, but Shane Smith's been very good. Shane Smith's been very good, but I'd rather have Cantillo.
He won me a beer bet, so I thank him for his service. A little bit shakier lately. I'd go Cantillo as well.
Yep, with you there. All right, we're talking outfielders, and we have 80 of them to talk about. So what are we looking at on the first of two outfield boards?
Another, I sound like a broken record, but I think there is a takeaway to this where, like, if you went early outfield outside of really the top, seven, they've all been solid. You're not thrilled if you took Julio Rodriguez. He's 23rd at outfield, but hasn't totally killed you. So, and I feel like I've been saying this at every position, hitting position so far, is if you went early, you're happy. For me, that just kind of reinforces stacking up those early bats and drafts. Like, I just feel like those
pitching,
are the
baby. Wait on
and every pitcher is just dies every year. It's just like, I don't know, man. I might even lean into it more at this meatball draft.
Come join us. We're gonna do. Join us, Ryan.
Join us
over here.
I mean, I thought I was pretty.
I'll never get you heckling me for my beat Bubba.
Your OC, dude. You didn't take a pitcher till
like round nine.
I think it was ninth. Yeah, that was a little extreme. Maybe not. What the hell do I know?
Freddie Peralta.
Yeah. Peace. Very, very, very strong at the top for outfield with Judge, Carroll, Soto, Tucker, Jackson Churio, who is number 10 with the power speed at outfield. Pretty good year. J-Rod and Fernando Tatis. If you went early, you're pretty happy.
Yeah, it just goes back to support, like the same thing with shortstop. Like, these are five category guys. There's a lot of 2020 with 30-30 potential in this range. Aaron Judge is just a freak of nature right now, but Corbin Carroll all of a sudden is hitting a ton of home runs, stole his 11th bag tonight. So he still might get you to, 25 steals with his almost 40 home runs right now, which is insane. Juan Soto. Tucker's been hurt, but Churio, I love the fact that he's 10th because he's been getting some flack on some shows lately. What's he doing? And I'm like, yeah, it's not flashy, but if you just look at his line, he's doing a little bit of everything out there. Like, he's been very, very serviceable at the position, and he's still, 21 years old? Like, we have a kid that's going to be there. Like, I kept saying in draft season, if anybody can be the next 40-40 Acuna, it's Churio. I still believe that. He's super young, and he's got a crazy skill set, and both his knees still work. So, that's positive as well.
Agreed. 15 homers, 16 steals for Churio, .260 batting average. Like, that's almost a 30-30 guy with a decent batting average in what many think is like a relatively down year for a 21-year-old. So,
one thing that surprises me is Tatis out there at 12th at the position. It feels like he just hasn't done much of anything to me. Like, I don't hear a whole lot Tatis, and I'd look at box scores religiously. So it goes to show that he's actually really, really getting the job done. After that, though, a couple speed bumps with Alvarez and Mookie Betts on the board. But then you get Durant. Let's talk Jaren Durant, because similar to like people think Mercurio is struggling, people think Durant is struggling a ton. He's 20th at the position, so sure, not great, but what is he, like 12th off the board at the position?
Yeah,
that's not bad. 7th overall, again, not what you wanted at 23, but not killing you, Ryan. So in reality, are we giving him too hard of a time on this?
I don't know. I mean, I look at the stat line for Durant. It's 8 homers, 15 steals. It's basically Jackson Churio minus like 7
homers,
home runs. And Churio's 10th and Durant's 20th. I don't know. I mean, the stat line doesn't pop off to me. Like, there's not really a plus thing there outside of the steals.
He's so got to 50 ribbies. That's impressive.
Yeah, and 52 runs. I mean, that is volume that is compiling your way to those hidden runs and RBI. So, you add all that up, and Jaren Durant has – I would have taken the under on him being 20th based on kind of what I've heard and seen with Durant this year, but kind of quietly been, I don't want to say decent pick, but serviceable where you took him.
Yeah, he's not destroying you by any means. He's hitting for above league average, not by much, but he is. But I think people would have hoped for more power. But a lot of us said in draft season, like, hey, that might have been the ceiling in this story. Speed's legit. Like, he's on pace to go 200 runs in RBIs. That's pretty freaking good, all things considered. So, curious to see how the second half goes with him and whatever else the Red Sox do, because he might not be a Red Sox. So, have to wait and see how that
goes. He's not getting traded. I would be shocked. I don't know
what Boston's doing anymore, man. Like, the team's playing well, but I agree. They shouldn't. He should be a part of their future. But Boston fans can finish that sentence. Jackson Merrill's been bad, like really bad. I just wrote him up as a faller on a Fantasy Pros article from the past week. It's been a very, very rough go for Jackson Merrill. Like, he's got the batting average still because of a really hot start, but there's no power. There's very little speed, and he's swinging and missing way more than he should.
Pretty rough looking beer bet with Jackson Merrill right next to Wyatt Langford at 27 and 38 ADP. You're looking like you're gonna be enjoying a high noon courtesy of.
I have two Langford bets with you, by the way. That and Michael Harris. If you want to go farther down, who's almost got the same number as Jackson Merrill.
God damn it.
Yeah,
it's not even Wyatt Langford that's winning you the beer bets. It's because like Langford's been okay, but like, what am I doing? What was I drinking those nights?
I got a few guesses. Saturday night, F-Pass patio. Got a few guesses.
Yeah. So no, Jackson Merrill, brutal. And do we even have to talk about Michael Harris? This guy shows up every episode.
Honestly, people think I'm a mean person. We will not. We've buried him so many times. Thanks. He's doing the talking for me. It's okay. But here's where it gets this one I feel really good about, because how many times as draft season went on, Ryan, did I say I have massive FOMO about not rostering James Wood? Then my last draft, I made a point to get James Wood because I needed one share. The dude is third at the position and 8th overall. We're talking young players. Like, we talked Churio as 10th overall, and he's 21 years old. We got James frickin' Wood, who's 22. He'll be 23 in September, hitting 284 with 24 homers and 12 steals, 69 very nice RBIs to go with 59 runs scored. He has been amazing.
He has been amazing. It is funny. I'll go back to Wyatt Langford, but there was that Wyatt Langford, James Wood comp going in. And it almost wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't close between the two, but pretty much universally it was the market was Langford over James Wood. And that so far has been completely wrong. I know the lazy, where do you think he goes next year? But we are drafting next month. Like, I'd be ready for maybe at the turn, at the wheel of a 15 teamer, James Wood next season, if this continues.
I'm probably speaking way out of line on this one, but I feel like on that too early draft last year, I feel like Jenny at the turn took him like in round 3 or 4. And we're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was surprising. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
I'm pretty sure I'm like, what? And then, as usual, Jenny knows what she's doing and I don't. Like, that's just par for the course on this one. But I remember that one very clearly. That was one of those like, whoa. And it panned out very, very well.
So, very well.
You got the Law Dog coming in at 22nd, Teoscar, who's been hurt and just struggling in general. And then Brent Rooker is another one. It feels like it's just been another quiet ho-hum. He's going to hit 30 bombs and get the job done. He's going to finish 16th in position. It's pretty impressive. So you have two A's right there at 16th and 22nd at the position, and they round out 18th and 20th overall ADP-wise.
Not a bad follow-up for the Law Dog after last year's breakout. Like, to be picked 57th overall and be 84th, that's, you know, not ideal, but that's not bad. Teoscar's tough. Teoscar was probably, out of any hitter for me, my favorite buy of any position. It was Teoscar Hernandez. And granted, injuries have played a role. I don't want to blame it all on that, but disappointed to see Teoscar 32nd at the position, but there's still time for him to turn it around. So we'll see.
There is definitely time for him to turn it around. We'll go to the right side here. Altuve is 19th at the position. And I want to highlight what you did earlier with on the last board. He's fifth at second base. So again, to your point about second base and other positions, it stands out. But Britton Doyle, we've talked about him a lot.
Tough. We have.
This is tough to see, because you have a 19th, a 17th, a 7th, even an 11th close by. And you have Doyle, who just, again, it comes down to Ryan, got to pick the right ones. And sometimes it doesn't always work.
Yeah. This is, again, this is that double sting of, like, not only has Doyle not produced, but any other outfielder you would have taken around Britton Doyle has been far superior. So, see, like, you took Britton Doyle, the market took Britton Doyle a full round ahead of Seiya Suzuki, who was going 87th and is 7th overall at the position. So, yeah, tough one for Britton Doyle. For him personally, but also on the field, it's been rough. But we've talked. I think Britton Doyle was on our monthly Bloom Boards show a few weeks ago. We're buying second half.
He homered the other day too. Like, I think there's a lot to still be excited for with Britton Doyle. So I'd be taking my chances there.
Yep.
Lou Bob stinks. He runs like crazy, but he's not healthy. It's impressive that Christian Yelich is 11th at the position, Ryan. That's just a testament to the dude, the back concerns all draft season, and he's just still rigging.
It's funny, we forget that we talk all draft season about all these guys, and the season starts and it's go, 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 fab preview, do fab. We forget about what we were talking about 3 months ago. There was some major concern for Christian Yelich coming off back surgery. I remember like in spring, it was like, Yelich said he was going to play, but the front office said he wasn't going to play in spring or something. It was just like they got their wires crossed, and it was like, oh, what the hell? Like, this probably isn't going to end well. But Christian Yelich has been awesome, and that is one. We talked about Zach Neto on the shortstop show yesterday, where, you know, it's not like every single injury gamble doesn't pay off. Some of them do.
Yep, Yelich totally agree. Santander's been an injured bust. Dylan Cruz has not been great, but just for those curious, he's starting to ramp up, and a rehab assignment could begin shortly. So keep an eye on that one with Dylan Cruz. But then another big one. We talked about all those early successes. We've had a James Wood sprinkled in, a couple others. Riley Green and PCA back-to-back. A lot of people wanted Brian Reynolds. A lot of people wanted Dylan Cruz. A lot of people like Josh Lowe. But right in between them, Riley Green and PCA, you're second and eighth at the position.
Yep, and I can listen to March 2025 me saying, oh, give me the floor of Brian Reynolds over the risk of PCA. PCA, I don't think anyone saw this coming from PCA. He was pretty polarizing. He had his fans, but what a freaking year. And to me, Riley Green, I've always called him kind of the blind spot. I never have him. I never really pay much attention to him, but top 10, 25th overall. It's been fantastic, and there you could have easily paired both of those guys together, and then you hit the nuts at outfield.
It's pretty funny. Dr. Doom says Mike Trout's rank is literally his batting average right now.
Oh no, what is it? 233.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's good stuff. Good right pull. There. Yeah. I want to highlight a guy that we've loved year in and year out, Ryan, and it was brutal when he came to Seattle last year. Randy Rosarena is 21st in the position. Go. 82nd overall. I mentioned it in the Discord yesterday when he went deep yet again. Randy Rosarena has a streak right now of 1, 2, 3, 4 straight 2020 seasons through 90 games, 15 homers, 15 steals, and he's hitting .247. He's back up to almost that number we want, Ryan. Like, he's on pace. I think 2025 is pretty much locked in. He's a hot streak away from a 30-30 season, which is absolutely amazing for us Randy truthers that did not give up.
Yeah, this is one where this is exactly what I thought would happen with Randy. I thought the batting average last year just was a complete outlier. He's not a batting average asset, but he was better than what we saw last year, and the power speed's been there. So I will put one feather in my cap here for boring old Randy Arozarena at 134 overall. That's looking pretty good right now.
With you there. Other than that, on this board, like Jason Dominguez would be much higher if they'd actually play him. Like, he produces almost every time out right now.
Yeah.
Adelis Garcia is heating up of late, so we'll see if that moves up. Ian Happ's been kind of a Segura-esque player. We talked about him the other day. Not much else I have on the top 40, Mr. Bloomfield.
No, we can go to the next group.
Let's go 41 through 80, where things will look a little more rare stake red, obviously, as we're comparing the entire outfield position on this one. And, yep, it gets much more red, but there's still some green on the board. Not Victor Robles and Lane Thomas, Ryan, but do you have anything else you want to set up here, or we just want to keep rolling?
Just keep rolling, yeah. Okay.
Taylor Ward is 27th at the position. I would have thought he would have been higher for his power. Now, again, player raters might rate things differently. His batting average is not good at all. Doesn't run a ton, but the power, he had another home run on Thursday. Obviously, these were done before Thursday, but he stands out. And then at the same time, Castellanos, very serviceable. ADP of 183, yep. 117th overall. Boring as boring gets. And it's like I struggle to convince myself to play him in DC sometimes. And I just got to realize the dude just consistently putting up numbers.
Yep, agreed. Speaking of boring, another one on this list that to me, it's been a hot streak lately, but Brandon Nimmo. 204 yep. ADP has been fantastic. He's one of the standouts for this group he's the 18th outfielder through the first half right now, 70th player overall, followed by your boy Elliot Ramos.
Elliot, and I was gonna say on Elliot, which is great, 24th the position, 87th overall, ADP of 210. One of the talking points all draft season is why draft Colton Cowser at 163 when you can get Ramos at 210. Cowser's 125 at the position, 100 spots behind, given he was hurt a ton. You can't predict that. But Elliott continues to produce, so big fan of what we're getting there. And that just leads us to the fifth outfielder at the position, 16th overall, which, Ryan, if this was like 7 years ago, I think we'd all be like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, we see this. Byron freaking Buxton, who I hope his wrist is okay, because I'd love to see him in the Derby. It's probably the only time he's ever been healthy for the Derby. But Byron Buxton, Ryan, crazy.
I doubt he is in the Derby, right?
If I'm the Twins, I'm doing everything to be like, dude, sit your ass down. Yeah. We'll give you a bonus. You won the Derby. Here's your 100K, yeah, whatever it is.
We'll pay
whatever
you 100 grand.
Just sit on the freaking bench right now.
We'll give you a little trophy. Or as the Arizona Fall League does, we'll give you a PS5.
Dude, that was wild.
You remember that?
I literally laughed my ass off. I'm like, wait a minute. We're giving these kids a PS5 because they won a home run derby in the fall league. That was next level.
It was awesome.
Didn't get a game with it.
I forgot about a game. That.
You just got the PS5. So these poor kids that live in people's houses because they can't afford lodging now have to go buy a $100 video game so they can play Ryan Bloomfield online and lose in a dynasty. It's pretty freaking crazy what's going on out there in the desert.
another reason to go to First Pitch Arizona. Little tidbits like that when you're watching a home run derby from like the third row with a few beers in hand, and that happens.
Like, we were all talking. I think we all just stopped.
Yeah, we were like,
I was like, it's me, you, James Anderson, and a couple other guys. We're all just like,
They brought the PS5 out. They like interviewed the guy at like the pitcher's mound, and there's like a banner and stuff, and it kind of looks legit. And then someone like brings out a box with a PS5, and I forget who even won it. They're just like standing there holding a PS5.
It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But he probably went outside and sold it to some kid afterwards.
Couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, he hawked it, and then he was downtown Scottsdale trying to find a 45-year-old to take him home for the night. Bull Durham 2024. Yeah, sorry. Back to where we were on this list. You were talking about Byron Buxton. Okay. Home run derbies. FPAS. It's the place to be.
Yeah, no, unbelievable that this is what Byron Buxton has done. I do my kind of yearly Twitter poll where I say, because it's happened every year the last, I think, 7 years, where someone drafted outside of the top, I think, 12 rounds and 15 teamers ends up putting up first round value. Byron Buxton is that dude. And a few other people, Scott Jensad included, a few other people actually guessed Buxton, which makes sense. Like, you're just, you know, the skills are there. It's just betting on the health. And at an ADP of 216, like, it's still kind of early, but that is where I like to kind of start betting on health, because all these guys have other deficiencies. So hell of a year for Byron Buxton amongst a group that, like, I mean, again, just looking at it, and sorry for the podcast crowd, but looking at this visually on the screen, there is so much red. Like, this is a pretty brutal stretch of outfielders around Byron Buxton.
Well, we're all past ADP 150. And I remember when thinking back to draft season, it was always like, I wanted three or four outfielders before I got back here. Cause like, in a 15 team league, this is round 10, and a 12 team league, we're talking round 13, 14, 15 in that area. I always wanted at least three outfielders. Like, I wanted to fill my final spots here, but preferably four, if I could. And that's where I kept waiting on pitching. It's like, hey, let's just get all these bats locked in and we'll rotate around. And you look at this board, you got Buxton, you got Nimmo, you got Elliott. You go to the right side, Springer ADP 257 is 13th at the position. Other than that, there's no one inside the top 25 on this entire board. There's four players inside the top 25.
That's wild. You're right.
There's five inside the top 30.
And that's five out of 30 players. Like, that's
out of 40 players, Ryan.
Out of 40 players. Yeah, that's no, that's wild. That's a good pull. You did some math on that one. Good
stuff. That's the one thing I was good at. It was math. I can pull that stuff out of my, leave it there.
So there had to have been some breakouts, because where the hell did all these other guys go?
Yeah, let's pull up the breakouts. That'll probably be more important. More, and like, as the season goes on, like, Cam Smith, if he keeps producing, he could sneak in the top 25. Barrelson, Joe Adell's only 35, but I don't think I guess because he hasn't run at all. But he's having a hell of a season. Like, I take that all day. Like, he's 118th at the position, ADP 272. So if you want to talk like overachievers at the position, Adell, Smith, Barrelson, Soderstrom, Donovan, Springer, they all are outproducing their ADP. They're just not great at the position, if that makes sense to the argument. So it's not like they're complete duds this late in the draft, because they are outproducing where you drafted them. But at the position as a whole, when we talk about roster construction, like, wait on second base, we saw that was a thing. Outfield, third base, shortstop, go early. Like, get your guys. And the kind of, I can't wait till we piece pitching into this, because we've kind of done we've done the hitting landscape. And outside of like Tarek Skubal and Zach Wheeler, that early pitching is going to be just bonkers.
I have not done the pitching board yet, but I'll run it.
Don't eat beforehand.
Yeah. It's going to be ugly. Quick chat shouting out Sedan Rafaela. We talked about him on the shortstop portion, but yeah, another shout out to Rafaela, top 30 outfielder who went at 201 ADP. Breakouts.
Andy Pages
is the biggest breakout, 15th at outfield, and he was taken 381 overall. Trying to think back, like, we were just concerned. I think we both like Pages. We both love Pages. Yeah,
and then they signed Conforto. We're all like, wait, right, goddamn minute.
And Teoscar, but we kind of thought Teoscar would be re-signed, but Conforto was like, what? So, but playing time, what you think is stable playing time is not. Sal Frelick, 25th outfielder. Yeah, that's a surprise.
290 batting average, that helps.
3 months ago, if I would have told you a Milwaukee outfielder would be top 30 outfield as a breakout, you'd say Garrett Mitchell, but it's
yes. I know you had to get that jab in there, but it is also impressive. At the same time, the Brewers have three in the top 30.
Yeah, Churio, Frelick, and Yelich, right?
Yep.
That's pretty good. Jeez. That's
pretty good. There's a big one. William Bray is great. Kyle Stowers, ADP of 553.
Yeah.
That was one of the early fab pickups that has brought back a massive return. He's 30th overall. So that's one that definitely stands out at the position. Zach McKinstry yet again checks the boxes.
Why not?
But Jake Myers, he's in there at 39th at the position, ADP of 454. So Another big, and then there's our boy at 44, Ryan. If you have the sheet up, I'll let you go from there.
I do have the sheet up. It is Gavin Sheets, 44, and basically undrafted. I thought Gavin Sheets would be better than that, but I guess he's only 44,000.
Depth of the position.
Yeah.
As bad as Jordan Beck is, he's still 46th. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, so a tough midsection for outfield, I think, overall. And again, some other positions, like the very much hit or miss, mostly miss with these outfielders from ADP, like 165 to 300. It has been pretty brutal for these. And yeah, we'll see what the pitcher landscape looks like, but it just seems like this is a spot to go pitching after you've loaded up those early bats.
And the other thing that kind of supports one of our kind of philosophies during draft season, between these boards and then also just scrolling through the player radar deeper down, you get three or four good ones, you can stream the rest in the outfield. Because there's a lot of, as you go through the player, there's a lot of good streaming options. You could tell, like, there was weeks they were good. They're just not full-time dudes, if that makes sense. Right. So you can definitely do that week in and week out, where we've gone over other positions, like third base and others. You need a dude to stand out for you.
Dr. Doom says Chandler Simpson shout out. That's fair. Chandler Simpson 65th on the player radar, but
in such a short period of time.
Exactly. 188 plate appearances. I did not know Chandler Simpson was hitting .310. God.
Yep. He extended his hitting streak to 14 games on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, on a originally ruled error and switched back to a hit, but
dude's a freak. Good with no power. You got a dude that's going to hit you over 300 and steal you probably 60-something bases.
But even like 23 runs, 14 RBI is not great. But like that'll play.
Yep, it will play. Any final thoughts from the hitting side of things before we get to a couple of listener questions?
I want to do risers, fallers out of this.
Sorry.
Let's just do risers out of outfield 40 through 80.
Yeah.
I will go with Spencer Steer. We didn't talk about on the first pass, but Spencer Steer was ADP of 212, and he's been at par, but a brutal start for Spencer Steer. I don't think Spencer Steer was healthy to start the season. It certainly seems like Spencer Steer is healthy now, so this could be a pretty big second half for Spencer Steer, power speed standpoint.
Yep, he was my first base riser, so I'm fully on board with you on that one. Looking at this, it's not Garrett Mitchell. I'll gladly take the L on that one. The one for me that I will take, and maybe it's quasi lazy, but Jerkson Profar, anybody? Like, is that too easy? Is that too lazy?
Not really. It's your show. You make the rules. Whatever.
It's our show. But I think Jerkson Profar is obviously one that I would go with. To be a little different, though, I'll actually go with Jung Hoo Lee. Starting to see a little bit of improvements at the plate of late. I think he was still banged up from that couple weeks into the season and got injured. A nice second half could be in store for Jung Hoo Lee. I'll go that direction.
Okay. I like it.
All righty. Let's get a couple listener questions from the old Discord in here before we head out. B Welch says, is Ryan McMahon the Gene Segura all-star here, or will he heat up this summer?
It's bad. Like, even, I mean, especially on the road, not startable, but even when he's at home, like Ryan McMahon, it's even a tough start at home, which is saying a lot.
Yeah. 32% K rate's the worst of his career. Last week in Coors for a full week did absolutely nothing but strike out. The barrel rate, the hard hit, still very good. Like, all those metrics are fine, but as a whole, he's not good. So 30 years old, it's time to move on, and probably the Rockies are thinking about the same thing, to be honest.
Yep.
B. Welch also says, Adele Burleson or Cam Smith the rest of season? Great question.
Ooh, that is a really good question. I will say Cam Smith, then Adele, then Burleson.
Yeah,
but it's close.
I like all of them. I think I'm with you. I think we still haven't even seen the best of Cam Smith, even though what Adele's doing is everything I wanted and more. I'll go with Smith, Adele, Burleson as well to keep it uniform, but it's very, very tight on this one.
Yep.
TDK says, what about Miguel Andujar? Just came back from the IL. I am not too worried about him. He's a batting average guy and not a whole lot else.
Yeah, so another guy similar to McMahon, but better. You want to stream at home. I don't know about much about Andujar on the road, but at home when the A's go off in Sacramento, having a good batting average guy can certainly help you a lot.
Then Andy Splinter, who wins the midseason anti-Gene Segura Award? Solid like but this. Unspectacular, likely better in a 15-team, a.k.a. formerly the Brian Reynolds Award. I like it, formerly.
Formerly,
My nomination is Alec Boehm. Yes, been very good, especially in a 15. Boring, but very serviceable in a 15. So that is a strong shot with Boehm. So who do you have as I scroll through?
I'll go with two. One we talked about, one we haven't, Randy Rosarena, I think it's just he continues, and who was taken shortly after Brian Reynolds in this, just continuing to do what he does. You like that out of Randy Rosarena. The other one I'll throw out there is Cody Bellinger. I feel like we don't really talk about Cody Bellinger that much. There's really not that much to talk about. He's had like crazy peaks and valleys early in his career. But I feel like lately Cody Bellinger is just kind of quietly doing his thing. This season for Cody Bellinger, he is the 23rd outfielder off the board and is currently 17th this season. So beating out his ADP somewhat quietly on in a good park and doing that. So I'll say Cody Bellinger is someone just kind of the last couple of years has just been pretty solid and stable.
All right, I'll give two as well. I'm going to go with the first baseman and Vinny Pascantino. He's 13th at the position, 100th overall, hitting .270, 15 homers, 56 RBIs. Plate discipline is very solid. Last year he had the 97 ribbies, on pace to go past that. He had the 19 homers. Like, health's always been the issue. We've always wondered what a full healthy season is. If he can stay healthy the rest of the way, we're talking about 25 to 30 home runs and like 115 RBIs with a good batting average. And it's just been quiet, very quiet with Vinny P. So that's kind of the Gene Segura-esque thing to me. And then the other one, we talked about him as well. You took Randy, which I think is perfect. I will go with Elliot Ramos, who is quiet and boring as heck. He's 24th at the position. Yes, it's a homer call, but he's basically supporting everything I was hoping for and more. Dude's hitting .269. He's at .269 last year. He has 14 home runs. He has 5 steals. He had 6 steals last year and 22 homers. He's got 50 runs, 47. Like, he's doing a little bit of everything. He's improved the strikeout rate by 3%. He's 25 years old. No sophomore slump for Elliott. I think he's been very, very good, quietly been very, very good. And if he can sneak in like 25 and 10 with a .270 average, very happy with what Elliott Ramos has brought to the table.
I like it. And, yeah, it's interesting to be stable, boring, but also super young and have, I think, another really good long-term ceiling. So yep. that's a pretty good combo of things to have.
Yep, a lot of youth on those two right there. So we'll see where that goes, and where this will go is off the air shortly. So what else do you have final thoughts-wise? Welcome to the end of the show. Final thoughts-wise before we head into the All-Star break and a very interesting Fab weekend.
We will be back next week with shows. But
if you're lucky.
Yeah, got to tend to some tooth fairy duties, so I don't have too much else. We'll have a good break, everyone. But yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll round it out with pitching. We'll do starting pitching and closers. So looking forward to that one, man.
Yep, you enjoy the tooth fairy. I got a birthday party on Saturday, so that'll be fun. Family in town.
Yours, right?
My little kids, girls. Yeah. Yep, that'll be a doozy, all the kids over. It's going to be like 98 degrees, so the water toys will be out in full force. The noons will be iced. It'll be a very productive Saturday at the old household, and we'll see where things go from there and get ready for a second half of baseball action, which we'll have covered for you here and on the Patreon. So come check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at BubbaBloomPod, and I am at BDIntric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 259. Catch y'all next time.